and shoes. This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
And we're on the air.
We are truly.
Or in the air.
Or in the air. Or both.
Or both,
right? And, hey, we've got our standard group here. We got Vince Rosino, CPA. Not only a CPA, a forensic CPA. And for those of you who don't know that word forensic, which is one of my more favorite words, it just means he's an expert witness recognized by the court system to testify for or against somebody. And he's also an ex I couldn't say
you
retired.
Can't retire, no.
Retired? No, that's
maybe
wrong
that
word,
too, but I don't
word.
Think so.
College professor,
but not at Columbia.
Not at Columbia, but he taught university level in the state of New York. And then you've been in Florida how long now?
Be 12 years.
See, getting semi-native.
That's right.
You know,
another
couple
of years. What is it? 15 years? Is the demarcation?
Well, it depends. You know, some New Yorkers are here for 30 years, and still think they're in Brooklyn.
That's really true. That's true.
That's the way it works.
And some of them give the rest of us a bad name.
They earned it. Mm. And living in, hey, if you had to live in the Bronx all this time, they deserve to get it's a rough.
Well, it's a rough crowd.
I'm from Michigan originally. 1976, I moved to Florida. That's 42 years.
Wow.
But I talked to people that are not from Michigan, and they said, you're from the Midwest, aren't you? It's like Wisconsin, we have certain words. Alan, you know what I'm talking about? That people, we have that guttural,
like
a German guttural accent. And when I listen to people that are relatives of mine now that are still in Michigan, I can hear it. Yeah. Now, I can't hear it on me, but other people have.
Well, some people say I still have a New York accent, but I don't think so.
But there are some words. You know, here's a word, F-O-R. How do you pronounce F-O-R?
Four.
Four.
If you're from Michigan, it's fur. For example.
For example.
That's like an F-U-R.
F-U-R. I mean, right? I mean, I'm telling you, certain words, they just the way it worked.
Interesting.
1-888-221-8990. All right, class, this is important. Write this number down. 1-888-221-8990. That is toll-free from any place. I am Joe Martech, financial advisor. Vince Rosino, CPA, is here. Alan Love, guest attorney, friend of ours, is here. We also have in our group who are not here, Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor on earth, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and Greg Fasula, attorney. In fact, I had, it's an interesting thing how you get phone calls from clients. I had two now today ask me about establishing a trust.
Oh.
And then my thing I do now with people is say, why?
Yeah, I was going to say, why?
Why do you need to establish a trust? Well, mostly it's because people don't understand what a trust can or cannot do, and a will can or cannot do. Well, and Greg would do the same thing. Greg has talked many people out of establishing a trust because they did not need one. Their assets were not subject to probate. Now, for those of you that don't know, the reason you establish a trust is to avoid probate when you die. Probate can take 6 months if everything goes right, and it can take a year or two or 10 if everything goes wrong. But a trust is not subject to probate. But you have to have probatable assets. Okay, here comes the test. We have our moderator here. What are probatable assets?
Anything of value, such as money, property.
That's not bad guesses.
About intellectual property, maybe? I don't know.
That's pretty good.
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. Let's say you've got a bank account, right?
I had one of those, yeah.
Yeah, checking account, savings account, CDs in the bank. Would you think those are subject to probate if you die?
Well, I don't know. It could be. I have a TOD on ours, though.
That's where I was going for.
I learned it from here.
TOD.
Well, this is no fair. I forgot I taught you.
That's right.
So a TOD is a transfer on death agreement. TOD, transfer on death. So what you do, if you don't know, next time you walk in your bank, say, hey, to anybody that'll listen to you, do I have a transfer on death agreement? Write this down, class. This is important stuff. TOD on your checking, saving, CDs, anything you've got in the bank. Now, here was what happened today, which is a different wrinkle. Client of mine, husband and wife. He's okay mentally. She is not. She is on with him as a joint on their checking account, savings accounts, and the rest of it. And that's why he asked me about a trust, because if he dies before her, she is not going to be capable of taking care of herself. So a trust starts to make some sense. However, I said, what about a power of attorney? Alan Love, attorney, sitting here. If his daughter, who is going to be his successor, executor on the will, has the power of attorney, the health care surrogate, etc., and if she is put on, go to the bank, and don't necessarily make your daughter a signer, but based on his death, transfer on death, she could now have that bank account, and she would automatically take care of mom. Is my making sense?
Sounds good to me.
Boy, a lot of help you are. I'm looking for legal advice over.
Well, I said it sounds good to me. Oh, okay. I think what you're saying is very proper.
See, now that's what I want, because usually attorneys, if you ask them a question, they don't give you a yes or no. They'll give you about 24 paragraphs.
Maybe.
And then there's no categorical statement, right?
So I have 23 paragraphs to go, but I'll save that for later.
Thank you. Very good. Wow. Thank you.
It's just anyway, like that insurance commercial, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Is this a lug wrench?
Hey.
Maybe.
Call a friend. You get one call, call a friend. So the TOD agreement works very well, and it'll also work for stocks, bonds, mutual funds, brokerage accounts. Yeah. If you have a homestead.
Will they work for business accounts, Joe?
A TOD? Yeah.
Just curious.
No reason not to. I mean, it's a corporation.
Yeah,
right?
It's a partnership, actually.
Well, a partnership. So let's just say it's a partnership, but in there should be something in the charter for that partnership or that corporation to do this. Then you can go to the bank with that document, and as long as it is agreement with the document, right, then the bank is going to go along with what it says. So if you have something that is not out of the ordinary, the bank wants to see it. Like when a client of mine says, I want to put my brokerage account in a trust agreement. Well, the brokerage houses, stockbrokers, the firms, want to see the trust to make sure that it's a legal document and it's proper to do such a thing. So when in doubt, whatever it is, you ask whoever it is that is holding that money, stockbroker, brokerage account, bank, your homestead now, your house is not subject to probate. It's exempt from attachment by creditors as long as it's, quote, a homestead. Now, it does have to go through an administration, but which is not probate, just to transfer the title to somebody else. And it's not a big deal. This is a relatively simple.
You pay a fee, I think, and apply.
Pay a fee and apply, and you're pretty much done. Okay. What else would be subject to probate? If you have rental property, now all of a sudden that becomes subject to probate, and there's where the trust starts to become very, very, very important. If you have, let's say, a 100-foot yacht, or if you have some extremely valuable collectibles of some favor, paintings, picture something that is not, you know, my $1.99 drugstore prints on the wall are not too important. The kids will just burn them when they. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is a lot of the things are logical. Anyway, so we've had these were two separate people this week that were. Or asking, actually, the phone calls today. And that was kind of a new wrinkle because the wife is not going to be competent. So I said, now, hey, go to see Greg, the power of attorney. Make sure health care surrogates, power of attorney, all those documents are in place.
That's good advice, Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something that, you know, it's a question that we kind of take for granted because we're dealing with it all the time. But here's somebody, it's a client of mine for a long time, and they already have their will, and he may have a power of attorney. He may have all these documents, but of course he's forgotten. But it's also a good idea to update these things every once in a while, and especially now because he needs to change venues for his wife, assuming he dies before her.
I guess they can have powers of attorney on each other. They can each have a power of attorney.
Well, normally,
in case one dies, the other one takes over, right?
There's a health care surrogate. Now, if your
that's totally different. I'm not talking about the health care. I'm talking about just financial
just
matters,
a power of attorney. Now, normally, a husband and wife, automatically things are joint, so you don't have what's yours is mine, what's mine is mine. No. What's hers is hers, and what's mine is hers. I got to remember the rules.
That's right.
Anyway.
That explains a lot.
That explains a lot, right. But the key thing you have to do, this is a legal situation, and I am not an attorney. I kind of counsel people because we go through it constantly. But to do it properly, this is my not too humble opinion. Every state has different rules. Florida has rules that it has to be signed and witnessed, etc. And there's got to be a certain way that is done to make it proper. You may have a perfectly good will that was done in Iowa, and it may not be valid in Florida.
That's right.
So
that's right. Absolutely right.
It's the way things work. 1-888-221-8990.
By the way, Joe, just a follow-up on that point. Photocopies of wills are not legal in Florida.
Isn't that something, though, right?
And that's all I had when I first came to Florida.
Really?
Couldn't find an original.
Yep. No. They never gave us one. We took what the lawyer gave us and put it in the safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When we got down here, we said, we should have this looked at by someone down here. And sure enough, he said, those are not valid here. So if you passed on, those wills aren't valid.
Well, the original might have been in his possession.
Yeah, but the lawyer at that time, we were in our 20s. We just had a family.
Yeah.
And the lawyer was like 50 then.
So
he's probably long gone.
And if the law firm might be gone.
Yeah, that might be gone. Yeah, exactly.
But the key is do a new one in
Florida.
Do a new one in Florida if you're here. 1-888-221-8990. Anyway, and a lot of people think a will is expensive, and it's really, truly not. Now, I'm not an attorney going to sit here and tell you how much. Based on the complexity, the number of people, how many assets, what you want to have happen, the longer it is, the more detail, the more they're going to charge, because an attorney gets paid by the time he spends.
Right.
So it's no different than
the accountants work the same way, other professionals. But you know what you don't see? A lot of people think because they just put another name into the document, that's it. They print it out and it's done. Cookie cutter, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. But
it doesn't work that way. No, it's each person is an individual, and each person has individual circumstances. And this was the one that happened.
I like to make the analogy to a piece or a block of granite or something. You know, they all have the basic shape to it, basic. But then somebody's got to sit there and form it to your likes and needs and wants. And that's where the lawyers come in. They carve it out to specification, to your specification.
Although you don't want chiselers working on your
No, you don't want chiselers, though.
Granite,
no.
Money-wise.
All right, Pastor. Now I'm trying to get the idea here.
You know, you reminded me of a couple weeks ago, I had to have a tooth pulled out.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is a direct analogy. So my dentist wouldn't do it. He sent me to an oral surgeon.
Right.
So right. I go into the oral surgeon, and the guy is kind of a comic, which is good because he and I cut up a little bit, but all of a sudden he's in there and he breaks the tooth off. Mm-hmm. And he says, now he knows why you sent him. Why? Remind me this other caller here. I need to finish the story. But let me take the call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, Joe. This is Shirley calling from Okeechobee, Florida.
Hi, Shirley from Okeechobee.
And, hello, Shirley.
Okay, I have a question for you. My husband had a Midland National life insurance company policy.
Okay.
And he passed away in February.
Okay.
It appears that his mother's name was the beneficiary on it.
Okay.
Because he had bought it before we were married and we did not change it.
Right.
Well, they're asking me for a copy of letter of a testamentary that names the executor for the estate of Arnold R. Lewis. Okay. I have a copy of the will, but I am the executor for it. Everything came to me, and it was vice versa. If I passed, everything went to him. Well, I have called an attorney, and they're checking on it. And I went to the judicial system here where I put it on record of the death certificate, and they tell me there's no probate in Florida, so I won't be able to have a letter. Now,
see, something's wrong with that. There's life insurance is not subject to probate. Whoever is the beneficiary gets the money. There's no tax on it. There's no nothing. One of the problems is there was not a contingent beneficiary. Your mom died, so now it goes to mom's estate, and it trickles down. You will get the proceeds, but I'm surprised your attorney, did he just talk to you, or did he take a fee, or did he set up a time to do things with you?
No, they're checking on it. Let's put it that way. You know, they're checking on it to see what we need to do. Evidently, they're saying that's what we need to have. I have already sent them a copy of both of the parents' death certificates.
Right, to the attorney, right?
Well, no, actually, I sent it to the life insurance company because that's what they wanted.
Yep.
Okay, wanted that stuff. So I was able to obtain them from West Virginia. My sister-in-law actually got them for me. And the thing was, I sent them to them, but now they're wanting a small estate affidavit or a letter of testimony if the will is being probated, but it's not being probated.
But for the affidavit you talked about eliminates that problem, but here we go again. I hate to tell you, if your attorney is a local attorney in Okeechobee?
Yes.
Okay. I mean,
he's the one that did the will.
Good. He's going to charge you a couple $300, whatever it might be. But you're going to have to. Now, this is me talking. I'm not saying you have to do this. But if you were an attorney, or Alan Love is a retired prosecuting attorney sitting here, Alan, this is a very difficult thing for her to do without an attorney. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So I hate to say it, but you're going to have to bite the bullet a little bit, and this attorney is going to have to be hired and say, hey, you need to help me do these documents. And then it might take a month or two, but it will happen.
Okay.
I know what you're trying. Right. I know, but you're really going to have to hire him.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of.
I know. But, you know, the reality is this. This is easy for him. Impossible for the rest of us that don't do it for a living. And then if you do the document wrong and get the affidavit wrong, then the insurance company sends it all back to you and makes it even worse. So he'll do it right for you the first time. If you have a problem with that, you call us back and we'll help you.
Okay. Is there some place when you can get a small estate affidavit?
Affidavit?
Is there some place where you can... Yeah. Is there a place where you can buy?
Yeah, probably online. You can go
even to the form itself. Yeah, I'm sure you can get a blank form.
You can get a blank form, that the small estate affidavit. It's not a big deal. And you go to either Florida.gov, and there's forms.
Florida.gov.
Yeah, or even an office supply store. I mean, these are forms that are standard forms. Like I said, when all else fails, if you have a problem with this, you call us back and we'll help you.
The forms are good, okay. Except if you don't fill out the forms right, then you're in the soup.
Yeah, see, if you fill it out wrong and send it in, then they're going to look at it a whole different way.
It delays the process, for sure.
They have a situation. These companies have an absolute responsibility to do what is right, proper, and legal. So none of these people are trying to not give you the money. They're trying to make sure that it is yours and nobody else's. So making sure these forms are done correctly is very important.
Yeah, well, that isn't a problem seeing the attorney or as far as that goes. It really isn't, but, you know, the only thing is, okay, all right. I appreciate your information, and I'll check out the form myself. I'm not saying I'm going to do the form myself. I'm just saying I need to see the form myself. I guess I'm one of these doubting Thomases.
Well, there's another thing you can do. If you know this attorney, say, hey, do you have this form? Can you email it or mail it to me? Now, they probably won't.
To you?
No, to you. They probably won't do that, but the bottom line is some attorneys might. I mean, you know, Vince, what can you? Yeah, I know. Well, attorneys get paid. They don't get paid for just passing out forms. But the reality is this. If you've known them and already paid them and they may know what's going on, and they may say, we'll help you fill it out and we'll file it for you and do it correctly. And that's. But they may just give you a copy of the form so you can at least see it. And I'm not saying they will, but you should be able to find it if you dig a little bit and you're computer savvy. It's all this stuff is available. Okay.
It might even pay just all to right. spend a half an hour with this attorney and have him explain to you what's involved. And then you can make a decision whether that's something you think you can do or would you hire them to do.
Yeah.
And it's a half hour of time.
Yeah. If he charges you for a half an hour of time, and as long as he doesn't charge $1,000 an hour.
Well, I don't think they're usually that bad, Joe.
That's the thing.
Sometimes to make a small investment, it's worth it, even for your time. Because think about the aggravation you'll go through if it's delayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be delayed.
Go ahead.
No. You understand exactly what we're talking. We're all talking about the same thing. Anyway, you go ahead and start going through it. If you need help, you know where we are. You can call us back.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Have a blessed evening.
You too.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a.
Well, you know, Joe, it's interesting because the beneficiary has passed.
Right.
So it goes to her estate.
Right.
Now, if he has siblings, are they going to share in that?
I know.
That's the question, because if it's going to the mom's estate and she passed.
Well, I had exactly that circumstance occur, and I think I'd mentioned this, that long story about the old lady I took care of for 10 years.
Definitely.
And then she died, and I was on the death certificate. Mm-hmm. So she had a life insurance contract, and I was contacted by Metropolitan Life Insurance because I was the only one they had a thing, and everybody had died that were beneficiaries. Mm. So I said, okay, fine, send the money to me. And they said, no. It has to be a blood relative.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, if the husband was the only blood relative,
right,
then I would say, in the normal course, it would go to him.
Right.
But what if he had three or four brothers and sisters?
Yeah. Well, and you don't know. Yeah. So the key is this. Where it ended up was with the Metropolitan one, I said, fine. I gave it to Greg to do, gave her the phone number for the lady, the sibling. Mm-hmm. But it went, it all passed fine, and Greg filled out the paperwork, and I'm sure didn't, well, whatever happens, it got done.
Well, it doesn't help this young lady out, Joe, but it points out what we've been preaching, so to speak, for the last 3 years,
right,
is the must check your beneficiaries on all of your retirement accounts and on your life insurance policies.
How many times have we heard husband and wife, husband gets a life insurance contract, gets divorced, marries a new wife, married for 20 years, dies, first wife gets the money because he never changed the beneficiary.
Right.
Second wife is a little upset.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
But it has happened. Alan, I know you've seen it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The situation that you look at is it, whether it's a retirement account, an IRA, a 401k, a 403b, the numbers that are retirement accounts, they have named beneficiaries. We had a circumstance here where a son died, no married, no kids, and somehow or other, it was when he had a 401k with no named beneficiaries. I mean,
that goes, it's a double whammy because it goes to the estate.
The estate
has to pay the tax.
Yeah.
And it's usually at a higher rate, much higher. And you might be able to defer it, roll it into something else.
Well, if there was been a beneficiary on it.
Then it would have been clean.
Then it had been clean and absolute transfer and usually tax-free because an IRA can be transferred to upon death to another person, whether it's an IRA, 401k, et cetera. All the rules. And by the way, folks, what we're saying here is this. Let's say you have a retirement account with your work, and whether you're working there or not, there are named beneficiaries. But if you die, that named beneficiary can inherit that, and it becomes their document, no tax. As they take money out, it'll be subject to tax. Now, there's
even that is you have to be careful with, Joe, because the account that they transfer to has got to be an inherited, what they call an inherited IRA, which usually names the party who originally had the account.
Unless that person was not taking any distributions and it's a spouse.
Oh, spouse, you're absolutely right. A spouse has different rules for spouses.
Yeah, different rules.
If it's a non-spouse, though, non-spouse. You have to be very careful.
Yeah. Well, the non-spouse, here's what happens. Here's what he's talking about. So Pastor Dave decides to die. And
he decides?
Yep, it's so much for that. Anyway, it doesn't always work that way. But anyway, and then he is now 75 years old, because you're not there yet, but I'm giving you a few more years to live.
It's only just a very few, though.
I know.
Thank
but
you.
Now you're taking distributions from your retirement account because the government says you have to take them when you turn 70 and one half. So now somebody inherits that. Well, they have to keep taking distributions as if you were still alive.
Mm-hmm. I got
based
that.
On your age, not on their age.
And the account has to be set up
as an inherited
IRA.
Yeah.
And you have to follow the rules, as you say, if they've already started taking it. That's absolutely right. But you can't, otherwise, if you don't do it correctly and set it up correctly, they'll tax the whole thing upon transfer.
Yeah. Also, there's another one that's a wrinkle in that. It's called a stretch.
Right.
So now you're an old guy, you die, but you've got this young babe wife, 45 years old, and she inherits your IRA. And it's now her IRA. But it can be set up ahead of time as a stretch beneficiary, so she now collects income from that for the rest of her life, or really for the rest of her life until it runs out. But the rules on each one of these things are a little bit different. And each person, the age, the sex, etc., has to be put into this computer to find out exactly what needs to be done. As Vince was saying, if these things are transferred, not done properly, 100% of it can be subject to tax just that day. Bam, just like that.
Mm. Or
and try to undo that.
Yeah, or they give you 5 years to empty the account if you don't do it right. You still have a chance to take it out. But the point is, why would you want to take it within five when you could spread it out over your lifetime?
And
also,
once a system is set, undoing one, the paperwork and the time.
Forget it. It's like trying to get a hold of the IRS.
It's exciting. 1-888-221-8990. I don't know. No prayer and praise growing. Our guest over here normally gives the phone number out every couple minutes. But
or at least alerts you that you should be giving it.
888-221-8990. Please call if you want. I've got something, and I'll say full disclosure, it involves me, but it's an educational question that will apply to a lot of people. About 2 months ago, I got a letter from an insurance company. I almost threw it away as junk mail, but I opened the letter. And what the letter said was the first brokerage firm that I worked for from 1985 to 1989 purchased a retirement annuity policy for me, and that they wanted proof that my ex-wife did not have any alimony or any financial responsibility. So I sent them the settlement agreement They wrote back, it wasn't good enough. They need the decree of the divorce.
Yeah, right.
I just had Milwaukee County send the decree of divorce to the insurance company directly.
Right.
But my question is this. They told me over the phone that it was probably worth about $90 a month. But they also said in the letter that there are elections. So my first question is, does this start when they get all the paperwork and dot the I's and cross the T's, or does it go back to when I was eligible for Social Security? Because it says in there they want to send me a form with elections.
Well,
elections,
I don't know. Yeah, the elections are not based on your Social Security. It's based on this. Are we going to give you a check every month for the rest of your life? Are we going to give you a check for 10 years? Are we going to give you a lump sum? You will have choices to make. Okay. Once you make that election, it's over with. That is in concrete.
All right. But I knew absolutely nothing about this. Well,
this
until,
is compound money. Good for you.
But here's my second question. The letter talks about the RMD, the minimum mandatory distribution.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just found out about this 2 months ago. My mandatory distribution started in 2016. Am I going to get penalized by the IRS because I haven't made a mandatory distribution on whatever this money's going to be?
Maybe. I have that exact situation with
here
a client
comes the
right now.
$64,000 question.
Because I had a client that came in to me a couple of weeks ago, and she found out that her financial advisor hadn't filled out the forms to transfer a policy from one place to another place.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was she found out about it in early January and said, oops, I never took an RMD.
Right.
I should have.
Right.
So she went ahead and actually included it on her tax return as an excise tax.
Not excise?
Excise tax. She took a 50% penalty, self-imposed.
She did it?
She did it. I said, she came in with a return. Mm. I said, why did you do that? She says, well, I thought it was the right thing to do. We could probably ask for leniency based on the fact that her financial advisor did not do the right thing.
Here comes what he just said, right?
But yeah, but here's the problem. I mean, how to get the money back now from the IRS, that's going to be the challenge. So we wrote letters, and I guided her through this. Lord knows where it's going to wind up.
The key thing is this. Alan, can of worms, don't ask, don't tell.
They'll catch up with her. If they, you know, they'll catch up with her.
With her, she filed it now. What I'm trying to say is, so take your distribution this next year.
Right.
If you don't get audited, the odds are extremely slim that anything will come out.
Besides the penalty is $45. So what was your required distribution? $90?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the election. If I take a lump sum, it would be a lot more, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Well, yeah. Well, then in that circumstance, you don't want to.
But you don't know what the circumstance is. But if you take the whole thing at one time, it's ordinary income, period. You're not going to come in and say, I should have taken it last year or the year before. You just take it. To me, I would not offer the information. I would wait and see if they come back. If they come back up to a 50% penalty on what you didn't take that you're supposed to take.
Right. Exactly.
You're on the radio. It's Joe Martek.
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
I have an insurance policy that was given to my husband from a credit card. And in the years gone by, they changed hands and it changed names. And when he passed away several years ago, I thought I sent a death certificate to all of the insurance policies. I recently got a letter from them saying that a recent review of our records indicates that your husband has passed away. And so now they want a death certificate and also one of the following, executor documents or small estate affidavit or other certified documents.
Right.
Now, if I did not send them a death certificate at that time, if I made a mistake and did not do it, is that going to be something that I'm going to regret?
No, no. They want to pay the money. All they want to do is to make sure the person they're paying it to has a legal right to it. So,
I see.
So all, and there's no penalty. There's no nothing. In fact, it might have accrued some interest. You don't know. All of these, I've never seen an insurance company that wanted to keep the money. They try very hard to make sure somebody gets it. At some point, it goes into, the insurance companies can't keep it. It goes into the state lost person fund or whatever.
The unclaimed, yeah, unclaimed.
Unclaimed. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is this, I would do, and what you want to do is call them up and say, send me the affidavit that they want. And you will then fill it out, get it notarized, and send them the death certificate, and they'll send you a check.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Yeah, that one's pretty easy.
Yeah.
That, you know, some of them are a lot easier than others, but that one was pretty simple. It's a situation that, you know, you ever notice this? Everything's easy once you know it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you may assume that everybody else does too. Well, and that's a mistake.
Well, you know, it's all kinds of stuff happens, and once you go through it, you've learned it. We were talking about this the other day, getting an EIN, a taxpayer ID number,
mm-hmm.
and if you go on that government form, I mean, you would never figure it out in a million years how to get it. They put it into a category that's got nothing to do with reality, but once you push the right button, they just spit it right out.
Yeah, they'll mm-hmm. give you a number online yeah. within 10 minutes.
Yeah, you now have your new tax ID number just ID. Like that. It's just, it doesn't even cost anything, but it's just an amazing thing how hard it is to get to that one spot.
Mm.
So I had a client of mine that died, and the kids showed up, and I said, forget me trying to show you how to do it. Come on in. We'll just do it when you're there. I get on the computer and just do it and be done. It's an interesting thing when it comes to some of these estates and what companies have to do before they will pay the money to make sure they're not paying it to the wrong person. But it's, hey, that's right and proper.
It is proper because if they don't, you've got maybe lawsuits from all of the beneficiaries
yeah.
to say, you know, how come... you didn't give it out the right way.
Yeah.
Hey, now, where's my piece?
That's right. Absolutely. I've got another call. We'll take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a question regarding to life insurance.
Okay.
I used to live in New York, and my husband bought a policy for both of us, and we were paying the policy. So, but what happened after a certain time, he discontinued making the payment, but I did continue making the payment.
Okay.
We got divorced, and I continue making the payment. Years later, like 12 years later, we got married again, and we moved to Port St. Lucie. So when I moved to Port St. Lucie, they sent me a letter that with a cancellation of my policy
because it wasn't paid, huh?
They said that they sent the letter, no, because they used to take it electronically from the bank.
Oh, okay.
And but the situation is now when I moved, supposedly they sent the letter, but I never got the letter. So one day I call and have canceled my policy.
Uh-huh.
Well, no longer, a couple of weeks ago, I received a letter because I continue making those payments for 20 years. And I received a letter from, I think it's an agency that say that from MetLife, there is a money that belongs to my husband for, that's like for last expense or something like that.
Did he die?
No.
And they said he has money because of what?
The money when you complete the age.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably, it sounds like an annuity contract, and bottom line is you get to what is called the age that it has to be either annuitized or completed. So now it's called take your money and leave. Now, all you would do is call them up and say, send me a form. and fill out the form, and they will send you the money. And you should be able to get the amount of money and everything from them over the phone, because they will ask if it's in your husband's name, his date of birth, the last question, so they know it's him. But that should, it should be pretty simple to do that.
They send me a form, but they, and I call them. They say that they cannot tell me by they cannot tell me the amount.
Let me ask now: is the contract in your husband's name, or in your name, or both your names?
Well, both.
Okay. But if you send the form back, they're going to send you a check, correct?
Yes, but how can I be sure that is not like a scam or something like that?
Well, if it's Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, is it in New York City or in New York? Is it dated? Is it the address?
Yes, in New York, but the situation is that it didn't come on the name of
and here's Metropolitan how, Life. How you can tell is to call them up and say, here's who we are, here's our contract number. They will look it up and say, yes, there is such a contract, and yes, you can send this form in, and here's our address. And I would send it in, return receipt, go to the post office, return receipt, so that you know that they got it and somebody has to sign for it with the form, and they will send you the check.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. If you have any problem, you call us back. We'll help you, okay?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I know there are many people, Spanish people, Spanish speakers, that they have a lot of issues, that they should be listening what you explain on your program. Don't you make a conference?
We'd be glad to make a conference. I have a meeting, and I've had a couple churches ask me to come and talk. And as long as I've got an interpreter, because my Spanish is narrowed down to cerveza, por favor. Well, wait a minute. I know one more word. I know one more. I know baño.
Baño, yeah. Right. That's so after the cerveza.
I was thinking about to make a group of people that I know, people who have issues that they would like to know about all this that you are talking about, and to do a meeting for you to bring a conference in Spanish.
I'd be glad to do it as long as I have an interpreter. You could provide the interpreter. We could come to your house. We can go to the church. We can do whatever you want. I'm glad to help people do this. Anytime. All you do is call us back and say, hey, here's my name. And did you leave your name and phone number with Pastor Tom when you called in? Or with Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan? Yeah. If you you put it together, you've got the phone number for the radio station. You call back and say, hey, have Joe Martek call me. I've got 7,000 people all lined up. I might be exaggerating a little. Anyway, I don't care how much it is. Our mission is to help people no matter what, so I'd be glad to do it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
God bless.
Same to you.
Yeah, I've got exactly that circumstance that wants me to go speak to a woman's group that are Hispanic at a church. And I said, hey, just put it on a calendar and we'll just go do it.
Yeah.
But I definitely need an interpreter. Back to my limited Spanish. We already know.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't make it too far in any Spanish-speaking country with just that, but you'd get started anyway.
Well, you see, when he has enough of it, it doesn't matter.
Well, you know.
Enough cerveza, por favor.
You know, but eating is easy. You go into a restaurant, you know, and you point. Whatever somebody else is eating, you want that. Yeah. Now, you don't always point at the right thing, but you're going to eat.
Exactly. Can I throw a quickie in here? Just a thought that came to me, Joe. I know we have a couple
of
minutes.
We got plenty of time.
Well, just as you know, I've been, my sister moved in with us, and we've been helping her with some things she can't do herself. And one of the things, and many people don't know this, let's say you're the spouse of an individual who was in the military, he's gone, or she, depending. And that there may be spousal benefits available to you through the Veterans Administration.
No kidding.
Most people don't know that. And
we're
exploring that now and trying to get them saying things for my sister.
I will tell you, do you know there's a benefit, I think it's $180 a month, that you can get from the VA for tinnitus, ringing in the ear. If you have such a thing, you get a hold of the VA and you tell them. And
yeah, also people from Vietnam era who had Agent Orange implication, diabetes as a result. Yes, there's the benefits are available. Well,
I think
but you got to apply for them. Not everybody gets them automatically.
No, you may have to go reapply. But the point is, you need to know,
of course,
possibility. But many people do not.
No, and the best thing to do, there's a VA officers, there's a phone, there's websites, there's all kinds. You know, a lot of people think the government is not there to help you. My experiences have been extremely good with the Social Security Administration.
Yep.
You call them up, and they will talk to you on the phone, and sometimes they'll come up and say, hey, listen, no reason for you to come in. I've got your records right here. I can take care of it right now over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them really bend over backwards to help people. So, like, we're here to help. We might just get you started in the right direction, because I certainly can't do the Social Security thing for you. But I have actually gone down to the Social Security office with people because they were scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Government scares people. Internal Revenue really scares people.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, hey, I forget who it was not too long ago, and I just said, hey, look, call them up, the Internal Revenue. Tell them the truth. Don't get arrogant. Tell them the truth that you've got a problem and you need some help working it out. And literally
they're more than happy to work it out. They'd rather get paid than not. So
yeah.
They're going to work it out.
Yeah. And they don't want to chase you, and they don't want to go to, you know,
they're pretty lenient. I mean, you can get up to 18 months on an installment agreement.
Yeah.
The only provision of that proviso is once you have an installment agreement, you can't apply for another one until you've paid off the first one.
Yep.
So you just got to be careful. I have to ask my clients that come in when they're asking for an installment. I ask them, are you paying one off now?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are, they won't give you another one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then you got to make other arrangements to pay.
They don't like it when you double dip.
They don't like it when you're so far behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get behind again.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you never get out of it.
1-888-221-8990. Well, that was kind of good. We had some different questions than we've had. Affidavits, things that need to be filled out properly. Some things are relatively easy to do. Some things are much more complicated.
And if there's a language barrier, that just makes it all the more difficult.
Yeah.
So if you can get to those people with a translator,
it helps them. Listen, if this lady gets a group of 8 or 10 or 5 or 20 people together, well, they can get another group of 8 or 10 or 5 or 20 together that might be a different group, because it is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this thing repeatedly where people give up trying and they walk away from what they are due.
Yes.
1-888-221-8990. We got room for a couple more calls here yet. We got, 10-15 minutes left?
I would say about five. Five and a half.
Well, this one pretty quickly today.
He's sucking up our time here.
you have to be nice to him. He's producing the show.
Do I have to be nice?
Yes.
I'm in charge of all the buttons that keep us on the air.
I'm starting to like you.
He's the official button pusher.
1-888-221-8990. Let me just mention again that we were talking about a subject that I got sidetracked on.
You did.
And I forget what it was now. So did you.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Alan, you're supposed to keep me in line.
You cover the waterfront. It's hard to keep track of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
on the waterfront, wasn't that Marlon Brando?
That was a famous movie with Marlon Brando.
That was
that's
a classic,
right.
You know, yeah, classic.
It wasn't Helga that he yelled out. It was what was the name?
In
the movie?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
No,
oh, no, that was West Side Story.
West Side, wrong name. Zelda? No, wrong one again. Caller Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Hello, Mr. Martek. My name is Dania. I'm calling to tell Mr. Mike Paulus that he is super amazing.
You know, personally, I have to agree with you. What he has done for people is just blows me away constantly. Obviously he helped you and made you a happy camper. Am I right?
Well, actually, he helped my daughter, first time home buyer, FHA. They closed just exactly when he said. Got her the best rate and the best insurance we've ever seen. He's just the best.
Well, I'm glad you called in and said that, because most of the times I just have women calling up yelling at me rather than telling me we're doing a good job. So it's kind of nice for a change.
Well, yeah, we know that about Mike. Mike is very resourceful. He's very good. Yeah. But it's always a pleasure to hear it from the listening audience.
Yeah, it is very much. Yeah. In fact,
I highly recommend him to anyone who's listening.
Very good.
It couldn't have gotten better.
Well, that's our mission here, is to help people, and I'm glad it did work out, and your daughter's happy, and you're happy. Good for you. And besides that, now that she's not in the house with you anymore, you're happier, too.
Well, that's the only part I don't like.
Okay. That sounds like the good mama. Okay. Listen, I'm glad you called in. Thanks so much.
Take care, Dania.
You're quite welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What Mike has been able to do for people. See, that's what, you know, most people don't know. A lot of times you think you're going to get a mortgage. You walk into the bank. You make an application. 2 or 3 weeks later, they say yes, no, or maybe. Mm-hmm. Mike will tell you in 15 minutes, doesn't cost you a nickel over the phone. I mean, you know, that's, he'll
do the credit check and at least give you the parameters.
Yeah, let you know. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a problem, he'll say, hey, you got a problem, but here's how you might correct it, and it might take you 3 months or 6 months to correct it, but we can do it and then get you what you need.
Right.
You know, one of the frustrations of going out to buy a house is if you can't buy it, and you find out the hard way.
And I'm sure that Dan was involved also on the insurance.
Well, he said
side.
Good insurance. Yeah. You got Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. What he's done for Mike, like Mike would sit here right now and say, when it comes to closing, you have to have certain parameters to qualify for a mortgage. In other words, you have to make a certain amount of money and you have to be able to afford it. Well, if all of a sudden your insurance costs too much, you may not be able to afford the mortgage and you get turned down.
Yeah, well, Mike has relayed that on a couple of occasions. He was able to reduce the premium on the homeowner to a point where they can then qualify for the mortgage and they wouldn't get it before that.
Yeah.
He does an excellent job.
1-888-221-8990. Now, do you remember what we were talking about?
The thing that you had to digress from in order to take the phone call?
Do you remember that?
No.
That's what I thought.
Sorry.
50,000 comedians are out of work, and what do I get?
I will say that it was you were having an eloquent buildup to making a point. So
eloquent buildup.
Yeah.
Well, that works really well.
Wow.
Eloquent. Buildup. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I love this eloquent. That's a new word in our show.
I like to throw out big words that you haven't heard before.
You know, more than two syllables, we have to watch it. It's cost you.
Perspicacious efficacity. That was the phrase last
year.
Perspicacious. Anybody that's got a 401k that they've left their employer, or a 403b they've left their employer, there's certain things that can be rolled away from the employer and put into your own account, and it doesn't cost a nickel to make this transition. It doesn't necessarily have to cost a nickel to make that transition. And most employers really don't want you to leave. No, I shouldn't say most. Very often an employer doesn't want you to leave the money with them when you're long employed there. They want you to move it out of the employer and put it someplace, which, quite honestly, now it's self-directed rather than the employer having the rules. So there's certain things that I run into constantly with people when it comes to transfers and rollovers. Now, I also call it the golden rule. He who has the gold rules. Mm-hmm. Very often these employer plans are difficult to get the money away from because the T's and the I's and all the paperwork is voluminous. But we do that. We help people with all that stuff. So glad to help them. 1-888-221-8990. And if we run out of time and you have a question, you can call anytime during the week. Pastor Tom or Dave or Jonathan will take your name and we'll get back to you. In the meantime, we got another caller here.
All right.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, but I had heard you talking earlier about the Social Security problems, stuff like that, and I have a problem.
Go ahead.
A few years ago, I was supposed to get my tax refund, and I had the Social Security office take my whole tax refund as payment to them. And I went down there, and they told me that I owed from, like, 1992. I used to live in California.
Now, these are it wasn't Social Security. It was the IRS, was it not?
No, they were probably...
Well, No, it was the Social Security office that actually they said that I owed them.
What happens, but Joe, is you may have a... Do you have a lien caller on your account? Were there back taxes that weren't paid?
Years ago, yes, but my checks were garnished for all the amount of money and more.
Oof.
And I, you know, after it's been so long, 20 years or something, that I don't have any paperwork from that. And I had no proof to tell them because I moved from a different state. Everything I had, you know, got scattered. And back in 92, I don't even think I had a computer. So I had no records of it.
Where do you live now?
I live in Titusville.
Okay. What I'm saying is I know that the Port St. Lucie Social Security office really bends over backwards to help people. I don't know what your closest one is up there, but I would make an appointment with your Social Security office up there and let them do the research. They should have all of these records. I don't care what state, because it's a federal program.
And they got their money, you know, and more, like I said, and I had proof of it. I had a paper, and I could never find the paper after I got it, and I finally went down there, and I had gotten a big old argument with them and almost got thrown out of the place, and I just got frustrated. But I ended up losing about, you know, a couple thousand dollars that I really could use.
I could tell and, you. Caller, I can tell you an experience I had with a client that I wound up going to a tax lawyer, is that he had signed, unbeknownst to him, or at least he didn't remember, back in 1991, he had signed a waiver with the IRS in order to entice them to get into an installment agreement. Back then, it was legal to have a taxpayer agree that they would keep the statute open for 30 years.
Wow.
If you signed an installment agreement. My client didn't remember ever signing such a thing. In the end, he went to tax court with it, and the IRS couldn't produce the waiver, although they said it was a notation on his file that they had given it.
But this took time.
But it took a lot of time, and he's had to pay a lot of lawyer's fees.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I could see, because normally a 10-year statute on collections is 10 years.
He's talking Social Security, not...
I think they may be attaching his Social Security because there's still open balances on his income tax.
Listen, we're running out of time, but we got that. You might want to give us a call back next week or earlier on the show, but the situation is I would be contacting the local Social Security office and trying to make an appointment with them, and take your time and don't get excited. This is your government, your money, and we have to do it. And we are out of time. Sorry, I got to go.
But
thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller.
Uh-huh.
I guess we're through, aren't we?
Never been a sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up the spirit in the sky. Whoa, set me up.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.